MyMac.com podcast number 33.
That's 3-3.
And I live in a van down by the river.
And Tim Robertson's quest for housing continues.
Yeah, if anybody read the blogs up at MyMac.com, I am currently looking for a new house, trying to get the financing all in order. Just your everyday all-American nightmare that some people love and most of us with a rational thought hate.
I detested house hunting. My wife loved it.
Yeah, it's not so much the house hunting. I mean, it's a lot of driving, don't get me wrong. I just hate dealing with those financial institutions, you know?
Yeah.
And in our situation, it's even more difficult because I'm self-employed. Mm-hmm. I'm a writer, I do this, I run MyMac.com. And lending institutions wants to see a weekly check.
Right.
And I did the weekly check for my whole life up until 2 years ago, so... You know, hopefully they'll just look at my credit score and they'll look at I've never missed a current mortgage payment, any of that stuff, and I'll be good, but, you know. Okay, we didn't play any music this week.
Yep, and that's partly because we thought we'd let you listen to some of our submittals and get your opinions on them.
What's going on is a couple weeks ago, 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
2 weeks ago, I played a homemade intro, which, you know, was horrible. But that's to be expected because I don't have any kind of musical ability. And I do. If I was like making a movie, I could make a great movie soundtrack. It would be awesome. It'd be the best movie ever with a soundtrack. And I'm sure a lot of other people say the same thing. Oh, this song would be great in a soundtrack. You know what I mean? And when I hear music, that's kind of what I think. I think in the soundtrack sort of thing. But I can't create it. Mm-hmm. And I tried. So I offered, or I asked, I should say, if anybody out there has some musical ability and would like to do our intro music, let me know. We'll send you our current stuff and play with it, make something up. And if it's great, we'll use it.
Yep.
And so far, we've had a couple submittals.
Yep.
I'm not going to play all of them because some of them are really bad. But these are the top three thus far. And I know there's at least two more people out there working on stuff for us. But I wanted to give our listeners a chance to hear what's going on right now, where we're at, and let them voice what they think of these intros. So the first one, let me see here. The person that created this one for us did it in GarageBand, and his name's Aaron. It's not really quite what we're looking for, and I told him that, and he had a suggestion that we let the listeners hear and make up. You know, let them make up their mind. So we're going to do that. So first we're going to play Aaron's. And at the end of the podcast, when you guys get done listening, or while you're listening, if you're listening to it on a computer, drop us an email and let us know if you like intro 1, 2, or 3 better.
Yeah.
And we'll go that route.
Yep.
This is the first one from Aaron. So this is intro number 1.
The next generation of radio. It's the MyMac.com podcast. Podcasting from the MyMac.com studios, it's your hosts, Tim Robertson and Chad Perry.
Okay, so that was from Aaron. And I like the beginning of it,
had a great intro with the guitar.
I like that a lot. But again, we both said, I don't know. It doesn't quite fit our show. And there was... when I emailed back to Aaron, I basically said it sounded very, I don't know, GarageBand loop-ish. And he kind of took offense to that a little bit, and I didn't mean to offend him, obviously. I mean, he worked hard on that. That's a lot of work right there.
Yes, it is. Yep.
So I don't want to take anything away from that at all. But, and we both agreed, it really just didn't fit our show. So we've got two other ones. This will be, and we'll talk about who made these and go into a little bit more detail on this in a second. But this is going to be number 2.
Yep.
Intro number 2. And this one was also created in GarageBand, but it was done by a live band before. And I just basically took These songs were sent to me, the next two, and I basically took a part of these songs and made an intro out of it.
Mm.
And that was the intention. So let's listen to two more. This is intro number two.
The next generation of radio. It's the MyMac.com podcast. Podcasting from the MyMac.com studios, it's your hosts, Tim Robertson and Chad Perry.
Okay, that was intro number two.
Mm-hmm.
I like parts of it. I don't know, it's just, it's... Number one, the volume isn't up enough right there compared to our voices in this podcast. And that's my fault because I created that at home using GarageBand. I just didn't kick up the volume loud enough. And that's going to be a problem with intro number two. And this one, intro number three.
The next generation of radio. It's the MyMac.com podcast. Podcasting from the MyMac.com studios, it's your hosts, Tim Robertson and Chad Perry.
And that's intro number three. I like that one.
I think of all the ones I like, of all the ones we've listened to, I think that one's probably my favorite. Maybe because it's kind of closest to
what we had before.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I really like it. But let's talk about, well, first of all, let's say... send us an email to mymacpodcast@gmail.com and let us know of the three, one, two, or three, which intro song you like the best.
Yep.
And don't let the fact that Chad and I are both kind of leaning towards that third one influence your decision at all. If you really think that one of the other two are better, let us know, because really, you guys are the one listening to it.
That's right.
So if you think that's better, hey, let us know. And if you have a song yourself and would like to submit it and say, hey, use this, give this a try.
Yeah, we'll be more than happy to listen to it. Yep, we're still open.
We're still open. So let's talk about a little bit about the last two. I got an email, and his name's from a man named David Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
And he created that music. Not only the one that we just listened to, the intros 2 and 3,
uh-huh,
but the song that we ended with last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so if people don't remember... it kind of sounded like a little bit like Twinkle Twinkle Little Star.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll play it at the end of the show again, because I really liked it as an exit music. I think it worked really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, the one last week was named Chump Change.
Mm.
David is a student at the University of Western Ontario in London, Ontario, Canada. Well, that's a mouthful, isn't it?
Yeah.
His band is made up of two people, himself and Andrew Salmon. And then he writes...
The band is made up of two people, myself, David Anderson, and my friend Andrew Salmon. David sings and plays piano, and Andrew plays bass and electric guitar. The drums are all garage band. However, we spend a lot of time sort of creating our own drum loops and to make for an authentic sound. The song was recorded entirely on GarageBand and entirely in my dorm room at the university.
Which is really impressive.
Yeah, it sounds really good.
I mean, yeah, it's amazing that it was done in GarageBand.
Yeah.
In a dorm room. I would never have guessed that.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, David also sent the two songs that we're considering for our intro music, number two and number three. Number two is called Can't Kill Me, and number three was called Plastic Knives.
Yep.
Go ahead.
And he basically says that these were also done in GarageBand. However, he used a five-piece band to do those. Two guitars, a bass guitar, drums, and voice, and the band is called Retrospect.
Like the backup? That's the backup program, Retrospect.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
So, I think, for putting aside our intro stuff, I think David's music is great.
Yeah.
I think he's got a whole lot of promise, a lot of talent, mm-hmm, and maybe one day we'll go, hey, that's that guy getting the MTV Music Award. He did our intro.
Yeah.
So we'll be popular by association.
Get a little respect from Retrospect.
That's right. That's Retrospect. They rule, dude. Okay, anyways.
Moving on to some reader feedback. We've got someone from Australia, Mitch Sefton. He writes, great podcast, and I listened to you from sunny Carawarra in Perth, Western Australia. Looking at a map, I think you are almost completely on the opposite side of the planet to you. Amazing. I listen to your podcast on a 40-gigabyte iPod photo on the bus to work in the morning, and it's a great, bright, and breezy way to start the day. So just a quick query. I've just downloaded iTunes 4.9 and manually posted your RSS feed into it as it's not yet listed in the Apple directory. iTunes is then giving me an error, and he basically replaces the puts down the error feed, which or the error line, which some of you have probably gotten to. Any ideas? The address works fine in iPod or 2.1. Thanks again for a great podcast.
Also got one from Mark Benson. It says, I read about your program on Mac Minute, and I am interested in listening to it on my iPod. What is the RSS feed link to your program? I'm interested in listening, but I don't want to download files individually. I have iPod or X, and it should do it for me. And that's from Mark Benson. Go ahead, on to the next one.
We've got Jerry Rougeau writes, okay, I give up. How do you subscribe to your podcast? I love listening to your shows and would like to put them on my iPod to listen to while traveling, but I can find no way on your site to have iTunes automatically update.
And I guess we ought to probably go into that a little bit.
Yeah.
What happened was when Apple first released iTunes 4.9 a week ago, we were not listed in the iTunes Music Store, and that was because, for some strange reason that no one can seem to figure out yet, our RSS feed did not work in iTunes 4.9. Mm-hmm. So, of course, we struggled with this for a while, and once again, my hero is, can you guess? Who my hero is?
Yeah, Dave Avery.
David Avery is my hero. And he got it working, but by creating a secondary RSS feed, and the only thing in there is the podcast. And we're going to have to manually update it until we can figure out how to get a regular RSS feed working.
Mm-hmm.
So for right now, we are in the iTunes Music Store podcasting. So if you go to iTunes Music Store podcast, do a search for My Mac, you'll find us. You'll actually find two. You'll find the My Mac Guys podcast and the MyMac.com
podcast.
That's right. You know, I've got some email from friends of the website, more than a few actually, which kind of surprised me, that says, hey, you know that there's this My Mac Guys doing a podcast. You guys have been around for 10 years. Of course, not doing a podcast, but you guys have been around for 10 years. How can you let someone else use that name? I mean, isn't that some infringement? Can't you guys stop them from doing that? And you guys should sue them. A lot of people said you guys should sue them. And you know what? I'm not the suing type of person. And number two, we've worked with the My Mac guys.
Yeah, we have.
We did a cross promotion with them when we had a whole bunch of road trip FM transmitters to give away. We actually gave some to them to give away to their listeners as well.
Had a lot of fun doing it.
And their podcast is really good. Yes, I enjoy it. It's very similar to ours as far as it's two guys and they talk about Mac stuff. You know, we're not going to sue anybody. Number one, they didn't even know MyMac.com was there when they chose MyMacGuys.com and started their own podcast. And number two, man, this is a community. You know, we're not, this isn't super business where you have to sue anybody who does something even remotely similar to what you're doing.
Right.
So, yes, we know the My Mac Guys podcast is out there. We actually recommend that you go listen to it.
Absolutely.
It's a good podcast. Yeah. We're not going to sue them for having a very similar name. And we actually wish them the very best of luck.
Absolutely. So, I think they do a great job.
Absolutely. So, you know, I do appreciate the readers worrying about copy infringement and someone's getting by on your name, because if someone hears about your podcast and they go to that, they're going to get confused, and because you guys are guys and it's the My Mac Guys. But I can understand where the confusion might come in. But if someone accidentally downloads their podcast, thinking it's us and listening to it and enjoy it, I have no problem with that.
Yep.
I'm hoping that they'll come back and look for us too. But even if they don't, fine. You know, as long as they're enjoying podcasting and it's Mac Guys doing it and it's nice guys like they are, hey, more power to them. So. That's enough of the suing, trying to get me to sue someone. to go back, we are in the iTunes Music Store. Just do a search for My Mac. We're under technology. We're there. For those who want to use another program, they want to find out what our feed is, our RSS feed. It's mymac.com/newsfeed.rss. Pretty simple.
Yep.
And it works fine with all of the iPod or software except iTunes. So I don't know why. And at this point, I'm pretty much tired of trying to figure out why. And I'm sure David Avery is too. It's going to be kind of a pain to go manually update our stuff and the fake RSS feed until we get it working right.
Yeah.
But at least we're in the iTunes Music Store.
Right, so it's easier for people to find. We've got ourselves out there.
Yeah,
so.
And right now only one podcast, number 32, is up there. We're going to post probably back to like 29 or something. We're not going to post all of our podcasts in there.
No.
If you want all the old podcasts, go to mymac.com. Find our podcast logo, click it, and there's a link to all of our podcasts. Going back way back to 2004 in December when it was just me and the podcast sucked really bad.
Well, speaking of iTunes, David Anderson, our outro music man.
This is like the David Anderson hour.
It is.
It is.
But he had a question. He said, I have what I believe to be a very strong idea for iTunes and the store, and I would like to simply let somebody at Apple know about it. They may have thought of it already, but nonetheless, I would like to get it out there. Do you have any idea of who I might write to about this idea? Any suggestions would be greatly appreciated.
Apple does not take unsolicited ideas. And let's be honest, everybody has an idea of what Apple could do to make mm-hmm. them even more popular, not just in iTunes, but in all their program and all their hardware line and
all their design
and how to make a bigger market share. Mm-hmm. And quite honestly, number one, there's some very smart people at Apple. And mm-hmm. I doubt if I've had one original idea that Apple could do something that someone at Apple already hasn't thought of.
Yeah.
And there's probably a viable business reason why they're not doing that. That's not to say that David Anderson's idea wouldn't be original, mm-hmm. wouldn't be a moneymaker for him, and maybe no one at Apple had ever thought of it.
Right.
However, Apple doesn't take unsolicited ideas simply because of the legality of it.
Right.
He's not an employee, neither are we. Mm-hmm. Apple would run into a lot of problems if they took someone's idea and made $1 billion off of it, mm-hmm. because then David Anderson, the MTV superstar that he will be at the time, will go, hey, you know what? I can get an extra $1 billion by suing Apple for the using my idea, mm-hmm. even though he solicited Apple to listen to his idea.
Right.
So Apple doesn't listen to unsolicited ideas, plain and simple.
Yep.
That's not to say that Apple doesn't listen to its users mm-hmm. and the people who buy their computers and use their software and buy its iPod. They do. They listen very closely. Mm-hmm. And you can tell because of the quality of product Apple yep. is producing.
Yep.
They're producing what people want. And they know that because they listen to us.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's to answer your question, David. They don't listen. They don't want to know your idea.
They want to hear what you have to say. They just don't want to be responsible for it.
Our podcast, obviously, is free for anybody to download. Yep. However, we do have to pay some bills. And as such, we have some sponsors. And one of our sponsors is Ramjet. And instead of Ramjet sending us an advertising or an ad, mm-hmm. A music file or whatever, we just talk about them for a few seconds on the podcast. And we refer people to go there, and as I said before, Ramjet's yep. good company. So I jumped on there before I came over to record this podcast today, and I thought, well, you know what? Let's look up some SD cards. You know, I have an SD card in my camera. I've yep. got a 512 megabyte card in my camera, and I spent like $119 for it mm-hmm. not too long ago. Jumped on their website today. They have a 1 gigabyte SD card for only $125. So I was like, man, you know how many pictures I could put on that sucker?
Oh, no kidding.
But even more importantly, if you have one of the newer Motorola phones, there's huge rumors going out there that they will already sync with iTunes 4.9.
Hmm.
So you can actually have your iTunes music on your Motorola phone if it supports the SD card. This is all rumor, but
yeah.
I've actually seen the screen snapshots where someone had plugged their phone in and their Mac saw it, iTunes saw it, and said, what do you want to do? Do you want to sync songs to it or what?
Mm.
So that's something to consider if you have a Motorola phone with an SD card slot
for one gigabyte.
That's a shuffle.
Yeah.
That's a shuffle right there. So, mm-hmm. you know, something to think about. It's only $125.
Yep.
Go to ramjet.com. Speaking of sponsors, let's go ahead and run our small dog sponsor ad.
Yep.
By the way, good news for us. Our listeners probably don't care, but Small Dog has actually agreed to sponsor us through the end of the year.
Fantastic.
So we're going to be playing Small Dog's ads right through December.
Oh, yeah.
And then by January of next year, when our popularity has completely gone down the tubes and no one's listening to it, they'll save money and not have to sponsor us anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So
thanks, Small Dog.
Thank you, Small Dog. Let's play their commercial real quick. And when we come back, we're going to do another ad, which, by the way, this advertisement is going to sound like an advertisement and they paid us or something. They didn't. The person that sent me this ad, I requested it because he's the person who everyone hears at the beginning of our show that says, the MyMac.com podcast.
Oh, really?
He's our announcer guy at the beginning. Mm-hmm. He's going to do something for us for the end of the show. that we'll always play at the end of our show too.
Oh, awesome!
And I said, and he's a real cool guy. He doesn't charge anything to do this for us, but he does have a service out there, and that's how he makes his living. So I said, dude, send us your commercial.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play his commercial. I'm going to play the Small Dog commercial, and we're going to hear our Not Mac News from Chris Siebold.
Is there a dinosaur in your life? A big, slow computer that eats up space? Remember what happened to the dinosaurs? They all got sick with viruses and worms. Dump the dinosaur and get a Mac. The Mac Mini is fast, nimble, no bigger than a lunchbox, and you can go wireless without a phone jack in sight. Macs aren't immune from viruses, but they are much less likely to catch them. Find out why at Small Dog Electronics in Waitsfield and on the web at smalldog.com.
Attention podcasters. Do you want a more professionally produced sound and image quality to your podcast? If so, you need to contact Adam at Madtown Aces Productions immediately. Madtown Aces Productions. Providing professional quality voiceovers, sweepers, show open and closes, and anything audio for your podcast. Madtown Aces Productions. Fully produced with sound effects and music or simple dry reads that you produce, we can do it all. Madtown Aces Productions. Get noticed and stand out. Madtown Aces Productions, providing quality audio imaging solutions for the podcast community since the dawn of podcasting. Contact Adam at Madtown Aces Productions right now at madtownaces@gmail.com. Once again, madtownaces@gmail.com.
Rock Radio. Rock Radio. Rock and Roll Station.
Madtown Aces Productions.
And now, Not Mac News with Chris Siebold.
Expect a major surprise from Apple in early August. Not Mac News has learned that Apple is planning on going against years of tradition by introducing a two-button mouse with a scroll wheel. Apple has been working on the mouse for the past 5 years under the codename Project 1989. Not Mac News has learned that when the Intel-based Macs roll out, they will be built by, surprisingly, Dell Computer. The Mac's unique style will not suffer, as evidenced by Dell's recent order for 15,000 gallons of special computer case paint tinted Apple Consumer White. Not Mac News. Now with a slightly better microphone. I'm Chris Siebold.
Yeah, Chris knows it's some real smooth vocals.
Again, that's Not Mac News. I love listening to Not Mac News. One of the greatest things about the podcast for me is that I get to listen to him like a day or two beforehand.
Yeah, and you're prepared. Usually I'm not. He'll throw out some curveball and I'll be laughing.
Yeah, because I don't let Chad hear him until I play it for him as I'm putting it into GarageBand as we're doing our podcast. So, of course, as you noted, I gave Chris a new little opening.
Yep.
Yeah, so. No, it's not music all the way through. It's just at the beginning, and then it's him. So. Chris didn't even know I was going to do that, so let me know what you think about that, Chris. let's see. We did have a contest last week.
Yep.
And we will get into the winners and the correct answers and what they won after we talk about a little bit of news, but... there's a little bit going on in the Mac world right now.
Yep. First off, iTunes countdown to 500 million songs. So Apple today kicked off its countdown to 500 million songs sold in the iTunes Music Store with an online song counter. So music fans around the world can participate in the race to purchase and download the 500 millionth song. As part of the countdown, Apple is giving away an iPod Mini and an iTunes gift card for 50 songs to the iTunes customer who purchases the winning song at each 100,000 interval.
Woo-hoo.
The person who downloads the 500 million song will win the grand prize, 10 iPods of their choice to share with family and friends, an iTunes gift card for 10,000 songs, and an all-expense-paid trip for four to see Coldplay on their world tour.
I wouldn't mind winning that. They can keep the Coldplay thing.
Well, yeah.
You know, it's kind of... there's a couple songs I like from Coldplay, but it's just kind of like, eh. This kind of meaningless pop. Yeah, I could do... Yeah.
Well, you know, concerts don't mean what they used to at our age anymore.
Oh, no. It was a badge of honor if you got out of a concert when I was a teenager and you couldn't hear for anything for 3 days. Just a... You know, that was great. I remember going to a Metallica concert.
Oh, me
with,
too.
It was with Guns N' Roses at the Pontiac Silverdome in Detroit, Michigan. and it was literally so loud that when I left, I couldn't hear my car start, and I was giddy with pleasure, dude. And I had like a 1972 Chevy at the time, mm-hmm. so it cost me like $40 to drive to Detroit in that old clunker, and I had like four people in the car, and I couldn't hear the car running. And that was great, you know. That was concerts to me, mosh pits, and you know. So I could do away with the who was it again?
Coldplay.
Yeah, but the 10 iPods would be cool. I'd give you one, Chad.
Well, thanks, Tim.
iPod or iPod. Let me back up. And of course, all of our news comes from
MacMinute.com.
We really enjoy MacMinute.com. We suggest you go give them a look and get your Mac headlines from there.
Yep, for your up-to-the-minute Mac news, check out MacMinute.com.
iTunes podcast subscriptions top 1 million in first 2 days. Apple announced today that in the first 2 days, iTunes customers have subscribed to more than 1 million podcasts from the new iTunes podcast directory. I'm having a hard time reading tonight. With the release of iTunes 4.9, listeners are voting with their ears, said Adam Curry, co-founder of the PodShow podcast network. Subscriptions have dynamically increased across our entire podcast show, and I predict over the coming months that iTunes will introduce tens of millions of new listeners to the world of podcasting. You know, that's great. It kind of sucked that we weren't in there at the launch, but in some respects, I'm kind of glad that we weren't, mm-hmm. because it was new for that first week, and everybody's subscribing to everything, mm-hmm. and then people are going to get a little bit more picky. They're going to slow down. They're only going to get the shows they like. Might check out a few new ones as they come available, mm-hmm. but it's not going to be that many that quickly all the time, because quite frankly, none of the shows are actually hosted on Apple servers. Apple doesn't copy these podcasts to their servers. Mm-hmm. All it is a direct link. When they hit subscribe, mm-hmm. or they hit download, or they click to mm-hmm. listen to it, it goes to that podcast server. In this case, it would be our server at mymac.com, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. it pulls that file. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't cost Apple anything. There's no bandwidth as far as Apple's concerned, mm-hmm. because they route it all through your server and the person mm-hmm. listening to it. Apple really doesn't have any control over content that way. They have mm-hmm. pretty much no liability.
Right.
But as the owner of MyMac.com, if I automatically had 50,000 new subscribers in 1 day or in 2 days, mm-hmm. Downloading large MP3 files, it would probably crash our server.
Right.
I mean, when we posted the first MacMod video,
and we got slash dotted.
We got slash dotted, and what happened? Our server literally went down. It could handle the load, mm-hmm. but our server isn't on a dedicated server. There's other web pages that are being served from that machine at Innotech. Mm-hmm. And I can only cringe at what would happen if that would have happened with podcasting. Mm-hmm. And the next story is really something.
It's pretty sad. I mean, I'm sure a lot of you are familiar if you keep up with Mac News. There's a stabbing in, I believe it was New York.
Yeah.
A 15-year-old boy was murdered last week in New York by two people who were attempting to steal his iPod, reports CNN. Steve Jobs called the father of the slain boy and just to talk to him, to sympathize with him, and to offer him any assistance.
Condolences and, you know, the kid was stabbed because someone was stealing his iPod. And, you know, it's just horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the only Apple tie-in and Macintosh and blah, blah, blah tie-in for us is that Steve Jobs called the family. Mm-hmm. And I think that says a lot about, I mean, obviously, we could go into the senseless killing for an object. You know, mm-hmm. this isn't a passion killing because someone stole someone's wife or girlfriend. This isn't a terrorist killing mm-hmm. for religious beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
This is a killing for a thing.
Yeah.
For an iPod in this case. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't really matter what the thing is.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we could devote an entire podcast on the tragedy of that. Unfortunately, that's a tragedy that happens every single day. And not just America, but all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
But of course the Mac tie-in is Steve Jobs called the family of this child mm-hmm. to offer his condolences and if there's anything he can do. And the reason he did that is obviously it was an iPod that was stolen.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it says a lot about the character of Steve Jobs, and I think a lot of people in the Mac press and the press in general really give Steve Jobs the short end of the stick. They always call him the reality distortion field. He's just a big salesman. He's a con guy, like that
the
book,
the icon
book that came out. And, you know, he's really hard to work for. You know, he berates people. He gets us in their face. Obviously, that some of that, I'm sure, is true. Maybe all of it is. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've never met the guy in person.
Yeah.
But you know what? Steve Jobs is a human being. He's a person. And when he read this story, it obviously affected him.
Mm-hmm.
And I commend Steve Jobs for showing soul by calling the family of this victim. And I think that's a great thing.
Yep.
You know? I bet nobody could name the last time a manufacturer of a gun company called the victims and, you know, I'm sorry that your child was killed by one of our weapons. That's never happened.
Yeah.
You know? There's a whole liability thing there. But
right.
I don't think they'd do it anyways. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of what guns are for, is to kill people. But, you know, it's just a senseless killing, and I think it showed a lot of class on Steve Jobs. Let's pause this for 1 second, because we're coming up on 32 minutes, and as you know, Chad, GarageBand doesn't let us record much beyond that, so we need to start a new GarageBand session and continue the podcast. And, of course, no one could really tell the difference. Maybe a little click sound in there. I don't always get it out perfectly, but... we started a new GarageBand session, so let's move on to our next item, which is our contest winners in the contest from last week.
Yes, we had two questions to answer about Griffin Technologies. Our first one was what was Griffin's product for the G4 Cube? They were the first one to come out with a product for the G4 Cube, and what was it?
And it was, of course, the CubePort serial adapter.
Yep.
And the winning... which can win on last week was three different Griffin Technologies products, because the questions were all about Griffin.
Yep, we had the Radio Shark, we had the iTalk, which was also featured in the latest Popular Science, and the Rocket FM.
Yep, and the Radio Shark was the prize up for grabs to answer the last question, what was that G4 specific product, and it was the CubePort serial adapter, and the winner was...
Fred Horvath.
And Fred is the new proud owner of a Radio Shark.
Cool.
Radio Shark basically lets you listen to FM radio on your Mac. You can set it to record it at a specific time on a specific channel.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually got one of these at home that I'm going to write a review of.
Mm-hmm.
And we might talk about it a little bit more in the podcast in the future. I honestly haven't played with it a whole lot because of the whole house searching thing.
Yeah.
And what happened last week during our podcast, and we'll get into that a little bit, too.
Yeah.
The second question was, what year did Griffin start?
And the answer to that is 1992.
That's a long time for a technology company that doesn't make computers.
That's 13 years.
That's 13 years. And they're, I think Griffin's just as big as they've ever been and just as popular. They're coming out with some fantastic products.
Yep.
Not just iPod stuff, but stuff for computers as well. It's great. Mm-hmm. Really good company.
And our two winners were Antonio Gomez, who won the Griffin iTalk.
Yep, that was the, you plug it in the top of your iPod, and you can turn your third or fourth generation iPod into a voice recorder.
Yep.
I think it records at 8-bit, so it's not, the quality is not enough that we can use that to do a podcast with. But if you're in a meeting, you want to jot down some notes for yourself, vocally, whatever, it works great for that. Yeah. And I've got that for review as well, and we'll get into that later.
And our last winner is Jeff Baumgarten. And Jeff wins the Rocket FM.
The Rocket FM. And guess who's got one of those as well?
Yeah, I know. And I told my wife about it. She wanted to check one out.
So. I'll let you have it when I'm done with it.
Okay.
I've got so much gear on my desk. But I don't know. The Rocket FM is so cool looking. It literally looks like a little rocket ship on your desk, and it has this really cool blue right in the middle of it.
Mm.
It's just bad looking. And what it lets you do is it lets you send the sound. Doesn't matter what application it could be, your system sounds, it could be songs playing in iTunes, whatever it is. Any sound coming out of your Mac will go to a FM receiver.
Mm.
So you can listen to it on an FM, you know, on your stereo, on whatever. And it works pretty cool. It's pretty neat. Of course, the sound quality is the best that you're going to get from FM, which isn't, you know, CD quality by any means.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great way, and it's a whole lot cheaper. I think it's I'm not even going to say how much it is because I didn't write it down and I don't want to misquote anything.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are buying the Airport Express to send their iTunes to their stereo so they can listen to it in another room.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a whole lot cheaper than the Airport Express, and you can send it to your stereo and listen to it via the FM. Yep. But not just your stereo. You can listen to it in a radio in your kitchen or mm-hmm. whatever. So that's pretty cool. So congratulations, Antonio, Jeff, and Fred.
Yep.
We're not going to have a contest this week. We might do it next week. I've got a product in mind, and I'm talking to the company that I think would make a cool review or would make a good contest prize. So we'll see what happens.
Yep.
usually at this time we have our feature,
which is our focus segment.
Yeah, but we didn't really do anything this week. It's just
because we can't focus on anything with Tim looking for houses. So.
And I live in a van down by the river.
Not really, but. that's actually Chris Farley from a Saturday Night Live skit.
Yeah.
And that he's supposedly a motivational speaker. Do you remember that
episode? Oh, I love that. That's great. One of my favorite skits.
I'm still bummed out that Chris Farley died the way he did.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, some of the best comic geniuses seem to go that route.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they live long enough, they become like Eddie Murphy and they do just little kiddie movies forever and it really is horrible and it's so far away from their roots that it's like, ugh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, I'm the voice of Donkey and the little dragon guy in this other movie, and I do haunted movies.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. Remember when Delirious came out?
Oh, yeah.
And how edgy it was?
Oh, yeah. Oh. And Raw. I mean, Raw. He was literally Raw. He was mad at everybody who got mad at him from Delirious.
Mm-hmm.
But he was so cutting edge. He was so funny. And, of course, if you're 18 years old now, you don't really remember Eddie Murphy as being anything but the kind of Disney-esque
Dr. Doolittle.
Yeah, that's what you're. But that's not Eddie Murphy to me. I mean, even Beverly Hills Cop, when it first came out, was out there. Nothing like that had happened before in mm-hmm. movies. And it's just kind of sad to see someone with that much talent sell out to the extent that he has, doing these voice acting. And don't get me wrong, I do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I miss the real Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
And you know the real Eddie Murphy isn't the one doing these family things. You know, between cuts, he's cursing and mm-hmm. making fun of people. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I'm not saying I laughed at pretty much everything he says, and that's not politically correct to say, but the guy was just hilarious. I don't care. And we won't even get into my true hero, Sam Kinison, so we'll just move on. Last week, it was an abbreviated podcast. It was only a half hour, which at one time was our norm, but we've been going over quite a bit lately.
Yeah.
And the reason it was only a half hour is because we did it during the day. When you were supposed to be at work.
I was supposed to be at work. They knew I was gone, but I didn't want to take any more time than we could.
Yeah.
We took a lot longer to actually do the interview than we had anticipated, and probably than they'd anticipated, but we had a really good time meeting with Pat and with Alicia from WWMT.
So, and if you didn't listen to last week, you know what we're talking about. We had a local CBS affiliate come out last week and do a story on our podcast. We do have the video posted right now, so you can actually go up there and see it, but I'm going to actually put the audio file from our interview. You're not going to be able to see it, but you'll be able to hear it
mm-hmm.
Right here in the podcast, so we can go ahead and do that. I'm just going to convert the movie file that I've got online to an AIFF file, put it in our podcast so our listeners can actually hear it. By the way, some of the information wasn't really 100% accurate, but you know, we don't have any control of the editing after they leave. We don't know what they're going to say. We don't mm-hmm. know what facts they're going to say.
Yeah.
And they kind of edited it in a way that, we'll just go ahead and play that three and a half minute interview. Mm-hmm. And so everybody out there can hear it. And then we'll come back and talk some more.
Sure.
And from this West Michigan studio, information goes worldwide. You'll meet some local podcast pioneers. The internet's global impact grows every day, and so does the technology that goes with it.
Well, think about it. Just 10 years ago, websites were just coming out, and email was a brand new communication tool. But one Battle Creek man was on the cutting edge back then, and he still is, and News 3's Alicia Smith joins us with the story.
Well, Judy and Mark, Tim Robertson was picking his domain name back when FedEx.com and GM.com were still available for the taking, so that should tell you something. But he wanted to create his own signature site, and he did it 10 years ago. MyMac.com MyMac.com. It helps people get the most out of their Macintosh or commuting experience. And now he's hoping to reach even more people with the newest internet outlet, podcasting, right from Battle Creek.
MyMac.com podcast number 32.
This home, believe it or not, is a recording studio.
The next generation of radio, it's the MyMac.com podcast.
With a computer, some music mixing software, and two microphones.
iTunes 4.9 is now supporting podcasting.
Yep. Tim Robertson and his friend Chad Perry produce weekly podcasts for internet savvy people around the world.
About 1.2 million people visit our site every month. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Yep.
Robertson is a pioneer web publisher.
We're pretty much considered one of the granddaddies on the internet.
His site, MyMac.com. Since December, he's offered a new weekly feature he produces with Perry.
Essentially, it's a radio pod. It's a radio broadcast that goes over the internet. That's the easiest way to explain it. Anything other than that, you kind of can lose people.
When you go on the website, you can find the MP3 files.
So clicking it will actually bring it right up into your web browser.
The next generation of radio.
You can listen to it on your computer or download it to your iPod or MP3 player.
Welcome back, Chad, after your camping trip.
Well, thank you, Tim.
If you like what you hear, you can subscribe to an RSS feed, which stands for Really Simple Syndication. Then any new podcast will automatically download to your computer, even directly to your player.
So the next time you grab your iPod in the morning and put your headphones on, you have new content on your iPod ready to go.
He can even attach a photo file to it. This was a podcast about his daughter fishing a week ago. Robertson says this all started with a former MTV VJ.
Adam Curry is considered the podfather.
Robertson says Curry created the very first podcast last September. His show is one of the most popular podcasts out there. More pop up every day, more listeners do too.
We've got this email, and it's somebody in London telling us about how he was listening to the podcast while he was riding the tube, which is the subway in London. And I thought, how small is the world that Chad and I can sit here in front of our computer and record this, and the next day someone in London is commenting on what we were talking about.
It's a technology catching on fast.
That's our news for today.
We're with a pace setter in West Michigan.
In just a minute. We're going to have
8 to 10,000 people download that podcast every week. It's so cool. And Tim Robertson says if you're interested in checking out the site, all you have to do is head to his website, and we've linked it to ours, WWMT.com. You can check it out.
Very interesting. All right. Thanks, Alicia.
The podfather.
Yeah.
The Tigers and the White Sox play in Detroit. Sports is next.
Well, sports isn't next. Chad and I are next.
Yeah, still talking.
And, you know, that was a very flattering. It's one thing to hear it, and of course we can see it anytime we want, but it was really weird to see how long they made that segment.
Yeah, we were expecting maybe 30 seconds to a minute.
Yeah, they'd just be a little quick thing, but wow, it was a great feature. It really was super positive for us, and it was a fun experience to do.
I think so, too.
So, you know... That was the news that we did last week. And that's why the show was kind of abbreviated. After they left, we just basically kind of hurry up and got the show done so you can get to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I can get home and post the podcast. So by the time that the news came on, they can actually go to our show, download the podcast. And we had Alicia Smith in our podcast last week who did the story. So it was fun. It was really neat to do. And hey... We're not adverse to doing it again.
No, absolutely not.
Let's see. What do you got?
Well, we got some stuff on the website. David Weeks is doing a review of the McCallie Blue Wave Bluetooth headphones for iPod.
It sounded pretty cool. I'd like to get one.
Yeah.
I mean, wireless headphones. They're kind of big, and I don't really think I'd want big headphones like that.
Well,
and
I think
around.
The other thing he pushed is the price point may be a little higher.
Yeah, it's $169. Yeah, something like that. Rush Walkowicz, editor extreme, did the DLO Action Jacket for iPod Shuffle. Russ is a runner, and he wanted a way to bring his iPod Shuffle with him. And go up to our site, mymac.com, and see if the iPod Shuffle the Action Jacket from DLO is the solution to his problem.
And finally, we've got a review of the Muzak laptop bag, which Nemo did.
Yep, and that's for an iPod, and that was a pretty low rating. and from reading his review, it sounded like it was warranted. So, yeah. You know, I like to say that every review that we write is very positive, but that's just not the case, because then it wouldn't be true, honest reviews. That's sometimes, right. If a product is not up to par, we're going to tell you. I've actually had writers in the past that says, you know, Tim, I've had product ABC for, you know, a month now, and it really doesn't do what it advertised doing. And I don't really want to have to write this review because it's not going to be good. I don't want to have to tick off this company because they might not send us something in the future. And I say, and I've replied every single time, you know what? That's exactly why we have to write that review.
Mm-hmm.
The company needs to know if they have a subpar program, or product. Yeah. But beyond that, we don't write reviews for the company.
Mm-hmm.
We write reviews for our readers.
Exactly.
And if a product sucks, it's a crappy product,
mm-hmm.
we are honor bound to let our readers know that.
Yep.
Warn them away. I want to say, I can't remember the name of the camera company now. John Nimorowski did a review of what looked like a nice camera, and he ended up giving it, I think, a 2 out of 5.
Mm-hmm.
And the company was very upset about it, and they basically said they completely disagree with the review. It was completely unfair. They were very upset, and they will never send another product to us for a product review again. And I was fine with that, and John was fine with that, because we were honest in our review.
Right.
And John literally took pictures with his camera or another camera and the product review camera in question of the same object, and he put them side by side. And it was obvious that one camera was much better and the other one was just subpar. Mm-hmm. So we lost a company that would send us products for review, which you rely on as a website like that does product reviews like we are. But you know what? Even if we lost all of the companies out there because of bad product review, if we gave product low scores, that's fine with me, as long as we're honest.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I worry about. I'm not worried about losing somebody that, you know, we're not going to send you a product anymore, or we're thinking about advertising. Could you think you could do this review for us here, and we'll look at advertising too?
No.
No, we don't do that. And there's been times that we've had advertisements for products up on the site, and we've done a review.
Mm-hmm.
But one never meets the other.
Right.
Never. And I've been adamant about that since day one. Mm-hmm. Way back in 1995, I always said, we're going to be honest. And no matter how much money is involved, it's not going to affect the integrity of our writing.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I'm kind of getting up on a soapbox a little bit there, but it's important to me. As a publisher who believes in free speech, who believes in integrity and honesty, that our listeners and the people that read MyMac.com understand where I'm coming from.
Yep.
We're not just a fan site. We haven't been a fan site for years. Mm-hmm. We're a serious news site as far as product reviews and opinion and stuff like that. And entertainment, obviously.
Right.
That's what the podcast is.
Yeah.
This is really entertainment. We don't do much product review here. But even if we did, we would still fall under the same honor system. For instance, Griffin Technologies gave away all this stuff, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, everything that I've used from them were real nice products. I've been very impressed. If I wasn't, the fact that they want to give stuff away on our show wouldn't affect what I would say about the product that I thought was subpar. So, you know, it's all about integrity.
Yep.
And I think it's important, especially in light of what's going on with the New York Times right now and Time Magazine, that our listeners and our readers know that, where I stand on that.
Mm-hmm.
And integrity, number one.
Yep.
I got, speaking of review.
How about CS2?
Yeah, Adobe sent the CS2 Creative Suite number 2 for review. Let's see, about 4 or 5 different MyMac.com writers got a copy. I got one. Todd Long got one. Owen Rubin got one, and I know John Nimorowski got one.
Yep.
And there might have been one other one. And I also have John Farr has expressed interest in doing a review, so I'm going to see if we can get him a copy as well. Mm-hmm. John Farr from AppleLinks.com fame, pretty much retired from the Mac world. He still posts occasionally on our site.
Yeah.
And I'd like to get him a copy of this so he can do a... He's real good at reviews, too. Mm-hmm. So,
But, you know, this is a very expensive piece of software, and we're pleased as punch that Adobe would send us as many copies as they have,
absolutely,
so we can do a review. I'm not ready to do my review. I've only had the program about a week and a half, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I thought I might share a little bit what I've noticed right off the bat.
Okay.
And I'm not saying I'm an expert with every program. I'm not. I would say I'm an expert Photoshop user. I'm almost an expert when it comes to Adobe Illustrator.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not when it comes to, like, Go Live.
Yeah.
But I do use Go Live quite a bit. But I don't use the entire site building features that it's really good for. But one of the things I noticed, if you select some text, Chad, and you hit Command B, what's it do?
Should make it bold.
Should make it bold.
Yeah.
And it used to in Adobe's Go Live program since, well, before Adobe even owned Go Live. So I get the new version, I've got it installed, and I'm working, I want to bold some text, and I hit Command B, and it brings up some dialog window. I literally have to go to the menu, the text menu, go down to Styles, and then go to Bold. Why do you change a keyboard shortcut?
It's a standard keyboard shortcut.
Across all applications.
Yeah.
As providing it's, you know, like GarageBand, it probably wouldn't do that because obviously there's
no
text involved.
Yeah, but, you know, every Microsoft-based feature always means the same thing.
That's right. And I just cannot figure out why they would change that.
Yeah.
Obviously, they did a little market research and found, oh, well, this dialog box is probably used more, and let's make this Command B. It doesn't make any sense to me. And I resent when a company changes standard keyboard shortcuts. Apple did the same thing with OS X. It used to be, if I wanted to start or create a new folder in the Finder in the classic Mac, going way back to System 8 or 7, even 7 I know did it, if you hit Command-N, new folder on your desktop,
right,
or whatever window happened to be open. If you go Command-N now, it opens a new window. That I hate that. Now you have to go Command-Shift-N or Command-something-Shift-N to create a new folder. Why do you change a common keyboard shortcut that's been there for years? I hate that. And it makes no sense for Adobe to change something that basic. I've also noticed that launching these new applications, CS2, is longer. It takes longer from the time I click it in the dock before I'm actually ready to work. And I don't particularly care for that either. And I also notice in InDesign, as soon as I start it up, I always want to go Command-N for a new blank page. Now it brings up a dialog box. What new do you want? Do you want to create a new site? Do you want to do this? Do you want?
See, that's then a fallback to Office, though. Office does that.
Yeah,
and
I
Office
hate that.
And I hate that. You know, if I'm clicking on Word, I want to open a Word document.
Right. Don't ask me if I want to open a PowerPoint document or merge mail or any of that other crap. I'm opening Word. I want to use Word.
Yep.
Don't pop up stupid, asinine dialog boxes in my face. And, I can't speak for every Mac user out there, but I guarantee you, anybody listening to this right now that does any kind of text editing, Command-B is bold. I'm making this text bold. Don't pop up some stupid window that has absolutely nothing to do with text editing.
Right.
That's the other thing. That it, when that dialog opens, it's not even a text edit box. So I'm like, ugh. And I've known about it for a week and a half, and I've probably done it 20 times since.
Yeah.
I can't get my mind wrapped around
it. You've done it for so many years.
I've done it for over 10 years.
Yeah.
And it's inexcusable to me. Now, don't get me wrong. This isn't a product review. This is just initial thoughts on a program.
Your pet peeve?
Oh, it's just a huge pet peeve. Don't change something if it's not broken. you know, the Macworld Conference and Expo in Boston is next week.
I didn't even realize it was that close.
You know, I bet most Mac users don't even realize it. And it's not because Apple isn't involved, although that's probably a lot to do with it. I think that this show is probably in a little bit of trouble.
Really? Why?
Well, Apple didn't want it moved from New York. They did it anyways. Over Apple's objection. And that basically meant Apple wasn't going to attend anymore.
And well, it kind of tough having a Macworld Expo without the actual manufacturers of the system there. But.
And IDG obviously wanted to move it back to the Heinz Convention Center. And Macworld Boston was the East Coast show for years and years until Apple had it change, I think around 98, 99, to New York. And it was hugely successful in New York. And Apple wanted it in New York. I still don't understand. This was a big controversy a couple of years ago. I still don't understand why IDG is holding firm to their guns and keeping it in Boston. Yeah, I'm sure it's a whole lot cheaper than the Javits Center in New York, but you know what? it's bodies coming through the door is what you want. And you're not going to get as many bodies coming through the door in Boston as you're going to in New York.
Right.
And a lot of the Mac press out there doesn't cover that expo because Apple's not there. And because Apple's not going to be there, a lot less vendors are going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it costs a lot of money for vendors to set up booth space at these expos.
Yep.
And if you know for a fact that the crowd isn't going to be there because Apple's not going to be there and now they're not going to be releasing any new products there, are you going to show up too? And I just don't understand the reasoning behind it to this day. And like you said, you didn't even realize it was next week.
Yeah.
And obviously, we're not going to go there.
But
no. But you know,
we can't even get to the newest Apple store, which is only an hour away.
We still haven't made it up there. But you know, there's something that we should probably think about, and that's the San Francisco Macworld Expo in January.
Yeah,
I would really like to go there and cover the event and do podcasts there every day. You and I doing that. I don't know how feasible that is. Obviously, we would have to find someone to sponsor it, as far as they would pay for or stay there at a nice hotel. We're not going to stay in a rat-infested cockroach hotel. Our plane trip there and back. And, you know, a little bit of money to cover our expenses while we're there.
And our handlers and entourage.
That's right, yeah. But honestly, though, if someone was sponsoring us and that we can set up in their booth to record the podcasts, we could give them some awesome PR.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think it would be fun just to go from vendor to vendor, find out what they've got, what they're selling, what the features are.
We would be all over the expo.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen and I've heard a lot of coverage of the Macworld Expo over the years, and no one has yet to do it to the extent that I would do it. And so this is an open invitation for any vendors that's going to attend the Macworld San Francisco Expo, Macworld Expo, in January. If you're really looking for a way to get your name out there a whole lot more, we're going to consider going this year, as providing that we could find a sponsor. Email me at tim@mymac.com, and we can talk specifics and price. And honestly, I don't even know about price yet. I'd have to look into how much hotels cost and all that.
Yeah, we get cheap tickets right now.
Real cheap tickets, absolutely. You would, of course, have to find or have to get that week off from work.
Yeah, that wouldn't be an issue.
And clear it with your better half.
She'd probably come out with me.
So. Yeah, and I would have to do the same thing. I don't think my wife would come. We've got three kids. It's just uprooting everybody and go to San Francisco for a week where I'm going to be working the showroom floor from early in the morning to late at night, recording the podcast, editing it. Really not feasible for our whole family, but your family's just you and your wife, so it'd be a lot easier. So something to think about. So if you're looking to expand your expo presence?
Sure.
Getting the name.
And exposure.
Yeah, and exposure.
Expo exposure.
That's right. And we would definitely give you that. Yeah, like you said, we haven't even got up to the Grand Rapids store.
No,
but you know, there's a lot of Mac users here in West Michigan. I wonder if how feasible it would be for you and I to get kind of a Mac event in our area, a get-together of Mac users in West Michigan on a certain date at a certain place that we could do a podcast from there and have West Michigan Mac users asking questions and we could tell them questions and or ask them questions, I should say.
Tell them questions.
Relate some stories. just a Macintosh experience.
Sure.
I think that would be really fun to do. So if there's any other, and of course our podcast is literally worldwide, so... But if there's any West Michigan Mac users out there, you know, give us an email and give us your thoughts on that. Or if you're not necessarily even from West Michigan, but you're Chicago or Indianapolis or within driving distance, and this is something that you guys would be interested in doing and attending as well, hey, let us know that we can set something up. That'd be fun.
Yep.
Nothing real soon, don't get me wrong.
No.
But it's something that we could plan and coordinate and look at. Talking about coordination, MacMod.
Yes.
This will be the last thing we talk about before we end the show. For those who don't know, Chad and I do every year or two video show called MacMod, where we take a Macintosh and we modify it in one way or another. The last one, of course, we took an Atari 2600.
And, well, we took a laptop.
Yep.
G4 laptop.
No, it was a G3. It was
G3 laptop.
It was a dual USB iBook.
Yeah.
500 megahertz.
Mm-hmm.
And we cut it apart and ripped it apart and stuffed it into the case of the Atari 2600 and made the Atari Mac. Yep. One word. Small case I, big A. Atari, big M Mac.
Yep.
A lot of fun. It got a lot of attention. As we were talking about earlier, we got slashed at it because of it. So we have a new project that we're working on now. Still in the planning stages.
Mm-hmm.
I bought a Mac Plus, a Mac Classic, and Chad and I thought it would be cool to use that, take the iPod Mini that we have for this build, put it in there, and make it an all-in-one computer. Here's the problem. 9-inch screen in those old Macs. You can't hook up those screens to the iPod Mini, or the iPod Mini, the Mac Mini.
Right.
So we have to find some kind of a screen to put in that space. A little flat panel display.
That's ideally what we're looking for, is a flat panel, 9-inch.
Yeah, if anybody has any suggestions, please let us know.
Or knows of any manufacturers who manufacture something in that size range.
Yeah, we're having a heck of a time finding a way to... You know those little screens that you could put on top of a PlayStation?
Yeah.
I got one of those. It's only a little 5-inch screen, and it takes an AV in. So this is a mini jack, and it takes the sound and the audio, or the audio and the video from the PlayStation. It puts it on this little screen. You can hear it, and you can play it. Not that great of a picture, to be honest, but I got it on sale for $50. That was half off at Best Buy. And I don't think that's going to work for us, but it might. So if anybody has a... We got to basically go from VGA to that mini... AV RCA, port.
Yeah.
It's not RCA. It's 3.25 or 3.5 inch mini plug.
Oh.
Kind of like headphones.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Owen Rubin thinks he might have an idea, but I didn't read his email in depth before I came over to do the podcast. So, but you know what's funny? When I went up to Best Buy, I explained to a couple different people up there what I was trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was pretty helpful, but the last guy... This was so funny. The last guy I asked, and he's the expert with these little video game screens. And I said, well, what I'm trying to do is I'm going to hook it up to a Mac Mini. He goes, oh, yeah. It'll do that just fine. I said, it will accept a VGA port? Oh, yeah. Well, if not, you can always run the USB, and the USB will work for the video, but you probably want to go through the Ethernet. This guy was... I just kind of looked at him, and I'm thinking to myself, this guy doesn't know anything. I mean, he is a complete moron when it comes to technology. And that's not a problem in itself, but if you're going to pass yourself off as knowing what you're talking about, don't use a bunch of big words that you don't know. Number one, the screen had no USB on it.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, you can't send video over an Ethernet port. And even if you could, the screen doesn't have an Ethernet port. So I'm sitting there looking at him, and I'm thinking, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. He's clueless.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought I'd have a little fun, and I was going to buy it anyways. I mean, his little sales job, you know, wasn't helping. If anything, it was doing just the opposite. But I was going to buy it. It was only $50. I figured if it doesn't work for us, well, I have a PS2, so, you know, it won't be a complete waste. It's only $50. So I looked at him. I said, you know what? You're such a good salesman. I can't resist.
Ah.
He just beamed at me and said, thanks. So I picked it up and took it up to the front. And, you know, yeah, I could have educated him, but what's the fun in that?
Yeah.
But you know what scares me? This kid, and he was a young kid, is going to try to sell something to the wrong person, giving him this bogus information, and someone's just going to rip into him. Or they're going to call his manager and go, you really need to teach this kid something because he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
So that's our podcast today. If you have guys or gals, have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can send a regular email or an MP3 file to
mymacpodcast@gmail.com.
Woo! Neither one of us messed up doing the address this time. So that's our show today. Appreciate you guys listening. Check out ramjet.com, smalldog.com, and who else? MacMinute.com for your news.
Yep.
And we'll see you guys next week.
See ya.
Let's get it.